welcome to the, I guess, next episode of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things.
Woohoo!
This one is a special one. This is the first one that we're recording with not the whole gang in. So if it's got a different kind of energy, you'll know why. We have just me, Mira, and...
Francesca.
Woo! And we have gathered today to talk about our Lord and Savior, Lorelai Gilmore.
Yeah.
We, after kind of hanging out for a while, realized that we both really like Gilmore Girls. And it's cozy season, and there's a lot of takes online and people rediscovering it again and again and again, and new people finding it out. So, like, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, I think, are just kind of getting it in on the bandwagon and having opinions. And we just thought it would be fun to have a wee conversation and mostly just discuss all of the boyfriends.
Yeah, that's why.
That's
how
why.
We found out that we were both a fan of the program.
Yeah, we have opinions.
So this is
just going to be a kind of mostly chill chat about Gilmore Girls. I've watched it more recently. When was the last time that you watched it?
I think I finished the series in August.
Okay.
So not long ago.
Yeah, okay. Wrong season for it, though. That means that you watched it in the summer?
Yeah, big time.
It's a bit
but
weird.
I started in winter.
Oh,
and then okay. I stopped it at the time that Rory started dating Jess. I stopped there. Like, I was like, I don't know why, but I decided I cannot take it. So I just
cannot take Jess?
I could not take that part of the story, of the plot. And then I resumed it, I think, beginning of summer. So I skipped spring altogether.
I desperately need you to say more about that. What exactly was it, the part of the plot that, like, was difficult to take? Was it the breakup with Dean? Was it...
Oh, no. It was, I suppose, that watching it as an adult made a difference in how I was seeing that part. And I'm not sure, like, when I was young, I was very excited about the two of them going out together. And then, you know, I'm still Team Jess in many ways, right? But, like, I don't know, there were things... I think I was disappointed with Rory.
Okay.
Throughout, with Rory, with Jess, the fact that, you know, like, they're still kids and they're treated like to make, like, adult decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and almost like their story, I feel like it's told a bit like as if they're adults.
Yeah,
and
that's
it takes
true.
Away the nuance that actually they're young people that are 16, 17. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What, you know, with both their problems.
But I guess when they're like 15, 16, whenever you're a kid, you're just like, everything feels so dramatic. And then kids always go like, I'm an adult now. You can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult.
That's so true.
So I guess she was kind of doing that, but just less nasally. Like, I'm an adult. But yeah, that's so interesting. Okay. Fun story. My mom had a similar experience, but for different reasons. Because we were watching it together. And we had a very, like, we were watching it and just, I think, kind of... sympathizing with the mother-daughter relationship. And we watched it just before I was meant to leave to go abroad, and we wouldn't see each other for a long time. So the end of the series was really sad. But also when we watched the bit where Jess comes in, from episode one, my mom was just like, if she gets with Jess, I'm not going to watch the series anymore.
Oh, wow.
She really hated Jess.
Oh, wow.
So that was a very, like, Lorelai Gilmore response. Just like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, but us, because I remember that I watched it when I was, I think, late teenage years. I was 18, 19. So I watched it as well with my mom and my sister, one of my sisters. Yeah. And I think that I had as well, like, that vibe of, like, you know, I don't know, but similar, I suppose. But I don't remember my mom's reaction to things.
Yeah. But it's still, I mean, that's still, like, you watched it with, like, women.
It's a very
feminine experience, I feel like, because it's just the women are at the foreground. And
It's
very cool. All right, well, we've dug into the boyfriends, and that was kind of the first thing that I wanted to get into. So do you want to talk about the boyfriends first?
Go for it, please.
I have seen a lot of comments recently about people don't liking Max, and Max is my favorite.
Max!
I know. I
Why?
don't understand
He was my
why.
favorite too, even as an
Yeah.
adult. You know?
So I have this like these categories for both Lorelai and Rory boyfriends, where it's like I like him, and then I think he's good for her in a different category, because I see with Jess, I'm like, I love Jess. I don't think that Rory deserves Jess.
Oh, interesting.
I don't, she was kind of a dick to him, I think. Because she was, so there was a moment throughout their entire relationship, there was a moment when they first met when he was kind of like a hooligan, sure. But at the end of the day, she knew that she liked him. She didn't break up with her boyfriend for him. She kept being like, well, why are you seeing other people? And he's like, you're still going out with Dean. What's your problem? And then she kind of like uses him to get back at Logan and leads him on and is just kind of oblivious to the fact that he still likes her and is like not appreciative of that. She never lists him as one of the guys that she's like really in love with. I'm like, yeah, I don't actually want them to get together.
Yeah, good point. Oh my, it's true because they started, she met Logan as she
Yeah.
was dating Jess. Was it or
No,
no?
she meets Logan.
A uni.
She meets Logan when she's dating Dean, when Dean is just broken up with his wife.
Oh my God,
There's a very weird like triangle crossover between all three of them, by the way, because there's a moment where she's like, she's not dating anyone, but she's restarting contact with Dean, who's married. Jess comes back for his mom's wedding, and he's like, I
that's
love you,
true.
run away with me. And she goes, no. And then starts going out with Dean and then meets Logan. So they're all kind of, it's not quite at the same time, but it's a very weird.
Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah.
Okay, what about Max?
So Max, I love Max. I feel like Max is the best one. But again, I don't feel like Lorelai deserved him.
No.
Because she was always just like, oh my God, you read books. How dorky is that? Like, yes. Have you met you? Like, madam, be serious.
I find these things so bizarre. Like, I feel like Lorelai's character sometime was so flattened. You know, like it's almost like she didn't have any personality rather than being like, you know, witty with some of the things that she was saying, but that not really, it's almost like she had no capacity to appreciate people. Like that was her character. Like why would you make a character that likes like Rory's teacher only for the books when actually there was a lot at stake for your daughter? You know what I mean? Like it's almost like they set her up to look like an idiot,
That's true. Yeah, you're
fundamentally.
so right. There's so many bets where she's just like, my thing is to be funny, so I'm just gonna be funny at the expense of being like a 3D person that exists in the world with people. It's so bizarre.
Also, like at the expense of really connecting with people, right? Like with their mom, the relationship with their mom. You know, also, like I think it was like in the last four episodes, how is it called? Like A Year in a Life? Was it A Year and a Half Life? You know, when they start going to therapy. When the mother is trying, like Emily's trying, and then there is like Lorelai, who looks like a joke throughout all of that. Like I found it very sad
It is very sad.
because she's the main character, and they decided that she would have no personality. I mean, her
Other than
personality,
jokes.
yeah, her personality is be funny,
It's like they
bubbly.
made the there's what was the term for this? The comic relief character. They made the comic relief character the main character. It's like, okay. That's a choice. You can do that. But yeah, it was sad. And actually, I mean, we're kind of jumping, but whatever. This is like, it's come up. Her relationship with Emily is, yeah, it's very interesting because there's a lot of people that are kind of like, well, Emily is really trying and she's lost her daughter, and at no point does Lorelai kind of acknowledge that that was really difficult.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have something to say as well, but I think we can talk about it later if we want to remain on the boyfriends.
On the
boyfriends part, because I agree with Max was my favorite too. Yeah. Of all the boyfriends of the entire...
Yeah, of the entire...
Of all the men.
Of all the men, actually. Absolutely. Yeah.
Max was solid. Shame that he disappeared earlier on in the series.
I don't understand. I've not even heard an actual critique of him. I've just heard that some people are like, ugh, Max. And I'm like, you have to explain that.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I agree.
This is one of those, if I tell you I don't like Max in a text, that's me being kidnapped and I'm sending an SOS message.
That would be the message that you send for people to know.
Yeah. This is not me. So what was your favorite boyfriend for Lorelai? If we accept that they have their matches, did you like Luke?
I am not sure, because I knew when I was a young person, I really loved the relationship with Luke, right? And then over the years, I was I still don't mind Luke for the character that Lorelai portrays fundamentally. But then I'm also thinking about I'm laughing because I'm thinking what has changed for me. It's basically being exposed to feminism. And then realizing that actually, what is it that I was liking about this guy? He was such not like, he was always angry, you know, he could not falter. He was always I don't know, things needed to go his own way. Otherwise, it was a lot of struggle.
All the time, yeah.
And I'm not, and I'm not sure what actually, and I wonder if that, together with many other, TV series and songs and, what I was seeing around, actually shaped the way that I learned how to see relationships.
Yeah.
You know, and so that became of course I want a love that is so passionate that you spent four or five seasons, I don't remember how many, maybe it was only three, not talking to one another. You're a very good friend. Keep on friend zoning each other. Being unhappy if the other person is dating other people, which I found, okay, fair enough. Things can happen. And then and then actually you like someone. Why do you like each other? Because you make each other laugh?
I don't.
Because I come into your shop and I decide to basically steal your phone and be a bother and use the bloody coffee table. To take away, you know what I mean? Why are they I still don't get it, but as I rewatched it, I was I think it works. And the problem is the look was always put when it was against Max, of course, Max was perfect. Yeah. But when it was, if you compare it to all the other men that she had, Luke always felt much better because the other were really shit. And I'm thinking about Rory's father. What's his name?
Christopher.
Oh, Christopher.
Okay, but do you not like Christopher because he's kind of a shitty person? Or do you not like Christopher because you don't think that he fits with Lorelai? Because I have different answers to that.
I just don't like him as a person, to be fair. I just, I don't know. I mean, I think there are so many layers to this, I'm thinking about, the fact that he was not there really to be a father. Also thinking about that when him and Lorelai, they got Rory, they were both kids.
Yeah.
And so at the time, you don't have a lot of opportunities to have your saying and to be heard. And, especially around those, I suppose around pregnancies. And I think in upper high society, where everything is about honor and reputation and such, right? But then I found him the picture that I have of him is the one of I'm filthy rich, I can cover everything, I'm here because I can afford it, rather than I'm here because I care about my daughter.
I, well,
even though it shows like that he tries, and then it's Lorelai and Rory who are a bit difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
He does try. They are like, he's calling her all the time. They're messaging, like him and Rory. It's shown that him and Rory have a lot bigger relationship. It's almost implied that you don't see a lot of him in the show because the show is kind of more seen through Lorelai's view.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking to Rory more throughout it.
I see.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't like him for me, but I feel like he fit with Lorelai a lot better because they had like more similar behavior patterns. I mean, he's kind of unserious, but she's also kind of unserious in a different way. And whenever they live together, for all the fact that you kind of know it's not going to last because you know that she's going to get with Luke and the but their life seemed a lot more fun. Like they all fit together, and whenever the three of them were together, they were together. Whereas when it's like Lorelai, Rory, and Luke, they're not all three of them together because Luke is always just like a prissy little princess. He was always just like a prissy little like madam, just like, oh no, leave me alone. He was like the Dowager Empress, just like, I don't want to hang out with anyone. Everyone leave me alone. I'm going to do something nice, but I'm going to do it in the most like annoyed way possible. So they never actually hung out together. I don't know what the three of them as a family would ever look like.
Oh, that's a very good point.
So, and actually rewatching it, Luke, I like after my last rewatch, I hate Luke now.
Oh, just like
because he would, yeah. Because before I was like, oh, he's a bit grumpy. Like I don't know if I would actually enjoy hanging out with him. But I noticed he did something that's like my actual worst experience. It represents my actual worst experience with men. And it's the moment when you break up. And rather than just be a grown up and acknowledge the reality of like, listen, we had a relationship. Things changed, circumstances, or we as people, and we are now no longer in a relationship. And, you know, hello and be polite and human to your ex-partner. He was just like, nah, we were never going to work out. I was never going to put in. And it was almost like saying, oh, I'm never going to put in any effort. And who are we kidding? And it was just, he just like gaslit her into thinking like, nah, this was stupid.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I'm that like, happened. You asshole. I hate that. And he did it over and over. Every time something tiny little thing didn't go his way, he was always just like, this is stupid. I hate this. I hate you. I'm going to go away. I'm going to punch somebody in the face. I'm gonna like, all right, calm down, madam. Are you on your period?
Yeah. Oh, what an interesting dynamic now that you describe it that way. You know, it's almost like, how can it make you feel reassured as a partner?
Yeah.
And safe within that relationship? Fair enough. You know, you have a character that clearly flawed. But also maybe he has his own reason to be so grumpy all the time, right? This feeling of, well, you know, any small opportunity, I question our entire relationship. Yeah. And they do it all the time.
All the time.
Like, it's so difficult then to be a partner of someone like that. Yeah. Because then you don't know where you fit in with that narrative.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't make it for a very solid, although the entire series decides that actually, because, you know, they're bound to be together forever.
Yeah,
you know, so that it makes it work. But like, I suppose in real life, you know, and they dated someone like that, you know, who they were so unsure from the beginning, and then you're just like, well, after a while, you're like, I'm not sure. Like, I want to be in this.
I don't feel like we're sharing reality, and it's not just that he changed his mind and he backed away. It's that he like retrospectively changed his attitude. It was like, yeah, I was never like really into it.
Yeah.
Whatever, I always knew that we weren't going to work out. It was almost just like he was making excuses for not making an effort. Because he never wanted to make an effort, because he was always just like, I'm just going to sit in my little corner and not care about anyone. But that's not, you're not being mysterious, you're just being kind of a dick. But yeah, so just rewatching, I'm just like, I don't like the main male protagonist of the show. This is a bit sad.
I can see. Yes. He becomes really the main.
Yeah.
After a while.
Yeah. Any other boyfriends that you wanted to talk about? How did you feel about Logan?
Oh, that's so interesting. And I think I texted you about like my feelings about Logan. So interesting. So again, when I was a child, I really liked Logan as well. I never liked Dean for some reason.
Yeah,
Even
Dean's a bit
as a
meh.
younger, even as a teenager, I was just like,
Yeah.
nah, this
I
Dean
like the
person.
actor.
Oh, you like the actor? I like Jess as the actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, both of them, yeah, but I like Jess better.
But yeah, but Dean, I don't know. I don't know why. But like for some reason, I never vibed with him, never as a teenager,
Yeah.
as an adult.
He's just a bit
Jess,
boring. Yeah.
yeah.
There's a really it was for me, it was that scene when the after the Bracebridge dinner, which is one of my favorite episodes, it's like Rory's going on the like little phaeton and she's getting driven around town and Jess like climbs in and he starts asking her questions and he's not even being a dick really. He's just like, "So what do you and Dean talk about? Like really? What do you talk about?" And she's like, "Things." Like, what things?
I don't remember
You
that
have
episode.
nothing in common, mate. You have nothing in common. And it's, yeah, it was just like no music, kind of awareness, studying, views from the future. Like, they just had nothing in common. It's not that I don't like him as a person, it's just they had.
But that's Dean's storyline.
Yeah.
Dean goes on a track and he follows that track,
Yeah.
despite whether it's gonna work or not, you know. And the same
Yeah.
storyline is with his wife. He's just into that relationship. The minute they decide to get married, they get married, whatever happens after, you know, and
Yeah.
they just, it's almost like he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know how
Yeah.
to live the narrative for his own good.
He doesn't know to leave the narrative. Oh my God, I want that on a t-shirt.
We should actually
Oh.
write it down somewhere.
I love that so much. I am writing it down.
Oh, yeah, you know, because you know
Incredible.
what I'm thinking? It's like that, and I'm seeing that happening in relationships, like, you know, nowadays, where like people would rather, for example, cheat than take
Yeah.
ownership and be agent of their own relationship and be
Yeah.
accountable. I can say this because I don't know how else to live this, and so I'm gonna cheat because I don't have the resources or whatever. I think it's an epidemic, more than anything. You know, I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't want to necessarily blame people who cheat, right? Like I don't want
Sure,
to create like
yeah. Things
a
happen, but
negative.
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are
Yeah.
so many reasons that are specific to that relationship,
Yeah.
but it's almost like, yeah, the entire narrative. And I have something to say as well about that later. As a young person, I felt like I was really understanding Logan from Rory's perspective. Like, he's this young kid who's very clever, he's very witty, he's doing a lot of things that are
Yeah.
not necessarily like mainstream or what you're used to.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's backed up by money. So, of
Yeah.
course, he can do things and he can offer a lot of opportunities, right? Like, and as you know, and the fact as well that is always very clear with Rory, you know, like this is very clear as it can
Yeah.
be, right? Like, this is what I have, and it's up to you to choose. And Rory doesn't know how to choose properly for herself. Like, I found that, like,
Yeah.
you know, in that relationship, she's just like, oh, but I just want to be with you, and you can know. I was like, well, actually, are you listening what he's telling you? He's like
Yeah.
non-committal,
Yeah.
you know, and he has to go by his family's rule, and he decided that he's gonna choose family over you, over and over again. I think so
Yeah.
throughout the season. And so, like, I suppose as an adult, then I'm just like, oh, I really like Logan as a person. I think he would make a good friend, but I don't think like he can really understand that actually he's a white privileged man, and his actions have impact on the people around him, because ultimately everything will be like, you know, sorted with money. And he doesn't understand that he cannot drug people, you know what I mean?
So,
So I'm bothered. I would want to have him as a friend, but I don't think like as a partner for Rory.
I actually love him as a partner for Rory. That was my
Really?
thing on my last rewatch. I thought
Ah.
I wouldn't date him, But I think for Rory, he was probably the best guy because out of all of them, and I think this sets really unrealistic expectations for relationships. But every single time that they had a fight, he was the only boyfriend that continuously came back every single time. I'm gonna do a grand gesture. You know, every time she's being a bit pissy. And there's a few times when it is actually her fault, like they have a fight, and sometimes she's accusing him of some stuff and she's right, and sometimes she's kind of just being a bit silly. But every single time he comes back, he's like, listen, I've thought about it. You're right. I'm gonna be better. He like flies over a couple of times. He comes back from holiday with the guys. He like makes some grand. He apologizes. He's all very da 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 da. He never overreacts. And she needs that because she's like you said, she's a little bit like non-committal. She's like, oh, I'm just a girl. And she needs somebody that's a little bit like, not in a nasty way, but is a little bit like, listen, I know what I want. I'm putting my foot down. We're going to make this work. And he kind of does that. And also he calls out something that I don't like about her, which is she's also privileged and she really likes to talk about herself as if she's not. And he calls that out multiple times of like, listen, who do you think you are? You went to Yale.
Absolutely.
You're having a whole wing, like astronomy wing, named after you. Like, what?
That's
You're
so
not
true.
like the Pod Piper, just like somebody took you from the street or something. Like, what?
Found it, yes, that's true. But you know, when you just said here about like that he comes back and he apologizes. You know, I saw all of those episodes with a bit of bother towards him, but I think that says more about like how I was feeling at the time, about my own stories. The fact that I was just like, oh, only because you recognize and you apologize, then it means that I always have to take you back. When actually I think that Rory does not know many times where the line is. You know, that it's like, oh, it's great that you understand what you did wrong, that you hurt me, and then you're coming back and you're apologizing, and then things can change. But I suppose because I spent so much time forgiving someone, then in my mind I was just like, oh, you know, one too many, pal. One too many. You're continuously, yeah, well, good on you that you're apologizing, but you're continuously, you know, like doing things. And then, you know, Rory being Rory, in, as you said, non-committal. So of course Rory won't take a hard stand with this guy in any way, you know.
I don't feel like she ever actually takes a stand for who she likes. She's just kind of like floating about like a little butterfly waiting for somebody to catch her with a net. And the guy that keeps coming back to catch her with a net is going to be the one. There's only one time that like somebody comes back for her and she goes, no, and it's Jess, because he comes back to the university and she's like, no, I don't want to be with you. And that's one of the reasons why I don't think she deserves him in a way. But yeah, interesting. Yes, I mean, we can at least agree that Rory is very non-committal.
Oh my God, And I loved Rory's character as a child, you know, as a young person, like late teenage years, you know, like I really loved her. I was like, oh, look at this young girl who reads a lot of books, you know, who has a lot of boyfriends, who gets to go to uni, who's so, you know, like empowered that she decides to, like, you know, pursue a career like in journalism, you know, that she's trying her things and she can always, like, you know, see something happens to her, yeah, she cracks, but then she stands up and she managed to do things. And now, like, you know, like I was very much called for that, you know, to be that person as well myself. And now as an adult, I was like, oh, well, you know, a lot comes from privilege, as you said, right? The fact that, you know, you can just sit out an entire year, like from your studies on a very prestigious university. The fact that you are not accruing any debt in doing that, the fact that you don't have to work at all to attend university, the fact that, yeah, that you can just move from a place to another, furniture is all given to you, the fact that you have this chance to do this internship for free. You know, and just thinking about, but if it was somebody else with different privileges, maybe the story would be very different.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
There's I think like my favorite moment my favorite Rory moment of the series because it felt very real, was in the last season when she's finishing university and she's looking for jobs. And there is an internship at the New York Times. I think it was the New York Times, yeah. That she's holding out for, and she refuses like another job that she gets a job offer, and she's like, no, I'm going to hold off for the New York Times, and she doesn't get it.
Oh yeah. Oh.
And she
what
has
an episode.
Yeah, and she has a moment where she says, and the worst part of it is, I thought I was so in. I was saying that I wasn't sure because I wanted to appear modest, but in my head, I was so like thinking that.
So relatable.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this is what I want from the main character. I want like more dealing with failure and not just like everyone loves you and you're really cute and you get everything you want for it, you want. And some things just kind of like drop into her lap, like. Being like student council vice president or something, only does that because Paris makes her do it. Like applying to Yale because her grandparents made her, getting like the Yale, like being editor of the Yale Daily News. She doesn't even go for it. It's just like, oh, people just want me to lead them so much.
Come on,
give me a break. But the thing with the New York Times is very good. I'm just like, I wish there were more moments like that throughout the series.
But also, how interesting it is, how interesting is it that, like, that the main character, one of the two main characters, is actually portrayed as if, like, you know, she's a woman, she has a career, but it's almost like she doesn't really want it, or she doesn't really work for it hard enough. The only thing that we know is that she studies a lot, as if that's the only thing that can actually get her to places, right? When actually you need other things. But like, how interesting is like that she achieved what she achieved because there are also these other narrative, also because she comes from a very privileged background, because, you know, as if like a woman cannot achieve that through grit.
Yeah.
If we finally have a series about mom and daughter, and then all it is about, it's always talking about boys.
Yeah.
It's always, you know what I mean? And then there is never like, oh, you achieved that.
And
because
the whole thing of like her wanting to be Christiane Amanpour, I'm like, Christiane Amanpour goes to war zones. I don't think you, like, she makes a joke about like, oh, I don't know if I'd survive and that may be too hard for me. Yes. Yes, honey.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Isn't there an episode where they try to go camping? Or is it just, you know what I mean? Or is it just Lorelai? Like, no.
It's a bit weird. Since we've moved on to talking about characters, Emily, going back to Emily.
Oh, Emily. I love Emily.
I kind of go back and forth. But, yeah, what's your take on Emily?
Ooh.
The latest one.
Okay, yes, because I don't know what I was doing. I think I was on a walk.
Okay.
Thinking about things that I could say on this podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And Emily came to mind. Because I really like Emily. And I do believe that Emily really represents, like, what happens to women under patriarchy. And I think that the character of Emily is a bit like, when was he like recorded? Gilmore Girls, like in the early 2000s?
I think so.
So we're talking about like 20 years ago, right? But the way that she's portrayed almost shows like a society like in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, right?
Yeah, well, very conservative people, yeah.
Yeah.
Famously stuck back in time.
Absolutely. Sure. And but I think like that she still represents things that happen in society, although that's the extreme that we always talk about that. Because if, oh, but it was back in the days. And I'm saying this because I'm thinking like that the difference between like Emily and Richard. Emily, she's just, you know, Emily's character is really like limited. You know, she's only confined to like being like a good lady. You know, and I'm using like quotes. Yeah, Emily can only, Emily's breadth of action is only around like who you can be as a woman in society. And I think that she portrays that and she tries to influence Lorelai with that, right? But that's only, that's the best that Emily can do. Emily, people can only relate to Emily around those things about like how to be like a good woman in society. Well, actually, if you think about Richard, Richard can everything. Richard can be relaxed. Richard can talk about many different topics, like with his daughter Lorelai and with his granddaughter Lorori. Richard is the one who actually can chill about different situations without, you know, whilst Emily is the one who's like this hysterical, you know, older woman who cannot think straight about things, who's like overly emotional, who's like too caught up and too tight about certain topics, you know what I mean? And then it's almost
so he calls her out a few times of just like, you're too exacting from, you're too kind of strict on the maids, you...
But she's just a very product of patriarchy, of the circumstances she lived in. Like, it's the same for, like, Richard's mom, that I don't remember her name, you know. Fair enough, like, she's not depicted well, but why do you have, like, these older women, you know, who are very much the product of, like, what it means to be a woman back in the days, where you basically have nothing rather than be, like, the perfect wife. And then, like, you have, like, men who are always described, like, this, you know, Richard is this very tender grandfather to Rory. He's the one who really wants the best for everyone. And then I'm just like, well, it's very easy for you to be in that position where you can actually be the one to calm things down, to sort out things. You know, you have power. You realistically have power. You have money. You have a career. You have a lot of hobbies. You don't get to spend time in the house all the time. You're not the one who's dealing with, like, you know, the
she's the very well
helping staff.
So Emily brings that up specifically a couple of times. There's a couple of times when there's a difficult situation and she's drunk and Lorelai is around, and she specifically, like, says to Lorelai how, oh, I admire you, actually. I think you're doing really well. How can you know how to do all this business stuff? And me, I was always, you know, he makes fun of me for shopping and he makes fun of me for not being able to keep a maid. But actually, that's my job. My job is to be a housewife. My job is to plan parties. And then there's that episode where that's where we meet Jason, who's the boyfriend that we didn't even talk about because he was so shit.
Who's Jason?
Lorelai's boyfriend, who was Richard's partner.
Jason!
Yeah, he was so bad. But yeah, so there was the episode where he, like, is trying to plan a party and takes it away from Emily, and she has a breakdown because she's like, this is what I do. You've taken away my raison d'être, almost. Like, what's going on? So she's very aware of that. But I wonder if she would enjoy having Lorelai's life, because she wants to have a partner. Yeah. And in a way, that is, I think she is finding ways to show her kind of more rebellious nature, even through those kind of very domestic acts that she has to perform.
Oh, yeah, she does as much as she's allowed to do, right?
Yeah.
Because I think there are a lot of boundaries around, like, her character, even though she tries. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I was thinking specifically about, I didn't remember that it was because of Jason, but I remember because it was the new business partner of Richard.
Yeah.
And that's why it was organizing it.
But she is, but the thing is, she would not have enjoyed being working class. She would not have enjoyed working. She would not have enjoyed. And this is the moment where I like Emily. I do like Emily. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for her in the relationship between her and Lorelai, because I feel like if I have issues with Emily, I'm allowed to because I'm an outsider. But Lorelai's her daughter. You should have a little bit more grace. So I do feel bad for her. But I also have moments where I'm like, Emily is a conservative, proudly conservative, older woman who is snobbish, who's rude to people, who, like, fires a, like, Spanish-speaking maid just because she saw Rory practicing her Spanish with her and she thought that was, like, poor-looking.
Oh, wow.
Like, she is super... Cool. She has, like, there's bits of it that kind of, like, flash through, but she's, like, offensively, horribly conservative woman. Like, if I saw her in public, she would make my life a living hell. Yeah. And I don't think she would have enjoyed being, like, working class. So, like, I love her as a character. I do. But I have moments where I'm like, I can kind of see where Lorelai is coming from. Like, growing up, it must have, especially if you're somebody like I'm imagining somebody from a younger generation that's very like has very progressive thinking, growing up under a household where you have a maid and you're not allowed to speak to the maid or remember her name. It must, it like there are, yeah. She's such a good character, though.
Yeah, she's a very good character, and they agree. Yeah, we wouldn't. I don't think we would gel necessarily because of our
Yeah.
worldviews, right? But I always think about, like, would it be different if she had a different background in terms of, like,
Yeah, if she was raised differently,
if
yeah.
she knew she could more than what she did, right? Like, because, the entire series, she clearly loves Richard, and Richard clearly loves her, and they're made for one another. I think they complement very well as,
Yeah.
like, I think they're most
Well,
stable couple.
okay, that's a good question then. If you remember in the in the A Year in the Life in the last four episodes by Netflix, so after Richard has passed away, she goes to Nantucket and she gets a job and she's just working in like a, what is it, like a National History Museum or something, and she's telling kids about like whales being speared, or and she's really
I don't
enjoying it.
remember. How is it possible that I missed out on that detail that she goes working?
And she basically has like a maid fully move in with her whole family
Oh,
in the house, which is very uncanny.
the episode that she doesn't know what it means, and
Yeah.
basically the maid is asking, like, can I move in with all my family? She said, of course.
How did you
Oh,
feel about that?
yeah. I loved it. I think, like, I think she felt free. Not free from the husband. I had this feeling of, like, that when I do believe that sometimes when something very traumatic happens to us, because our life is so upside down, I think that's, like, the best moment to really follow what you really want to do.
Yeah.
That because everything is so up in the air, that I feel like in those moments, every route is open to you. And I think that it's, I think she's described as someone who lost her marbles for a wee while.
Yeah.
And actually, like, I saw that, I was like, you do you, Emily. Like,
Yeah.
you want to invite people into your place. You want to, like, not sustain, like,
Yeah.
this farce that maybe, like, you had to
Yeah.
like, promote a living to throughout your life. I
Yeah.
wonder if she was also holding on to, like, her husband's, sense of honor,
Yeah, for sure, 'cause they were a very good couple. I do believe that as well. They were very well fit together.
And now that he's not in the picture anymore because he passed away, then she doesn't have to hold that his anymore. It's just like, well, it's only my life, and I can decide
Yeah.
how I want to move on with it. I found that was really liberating for her, but it's a shame that it really looks like
Yeah.
she didn't have it together.
Yeah.
But she even started going to therapy. I mean,
Yeah.
because of all of that.
Okay, I do want to switch to our last topic because this is the one that I feel most strongly about,
Go for it.
the abortion topic.
Oh, I loved when you send
So, yeah.
your stuff over.
So this is basically how I feel about the show. I think it started off with season one, teen pregnancy, mother keeps a child, it all turns out well. It's the mother and the kid are doing well. They're healthy, they're fine, they're happy. They have like a relationship that's the envy of the world. And I think they freaked out that too many people would see that and go, "I should have a teen pregnancy." And then they were like, "We need to set some guardrails." And then for the rest of the seasons, there's so many horrible examples of what happens to people when you have babies, so I'm just going to list some of them.
Please go.
So Lorelai and Christopher almost get together and have like a nice family, except that Christopher's girlfriend, that he's no longer with, they're separated amicably. She is suddenly pregnant and they have to now get back together. They clearly don't want to because they get separated afterwards. and they're not compatible, there, it's never a question of like, hey, do you want to keep this baby from a man that's that you're no longer with,
mm-hmm.
and then force a relationship to be back together? That's never brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And their relationship is broken. Jess is basically an unwanted child, and we can see like a lot of his bad behavior is from the fact that he knows his parents don't want him, that mm-hmm. his dad ran away, that his mom didn't want him to come back. There's like a whole thing with like Luke trying to lie to him and say like, listen, your mom wanted you to come back, but I said no. And he's like, she didn't. I know she didn't.
Yeah, that was so sad.
He just knows that he's not wanted. Suki, the whole thing of her husband wanting four kids, not wavering, them compromising. Yeah. And then she has, like, she ends up with three kids because her husband lies to her about getting a vasectomy.
Oh my God, yeah.
And she never, like, she keeps complaining about not wanting kids, about being overworked, about not being able to sleep, about being so tired,
mm-hmm.
being, like, painful. It's painful to her and it's upsetting, and she doesn't want to have children, and she's not like happy to be a mother anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet she gets pregnant again, and it's never like, hey, maybe don't have this one. In fact, mm-hmm. Lorelai takes her out on a walk around town mm-hmm. to try and brainwash her into remembering, like, mm-hmm. but the cute baby smell. Like, this woman is at her wit's end. Can you not? And
it's horrible.
Yeah. Luke and Lorelai's relationship is ruined because Luke discovers that he has a child that's, so it's even, it's not, you can never, it's like the message is you can never rest easy, because mm-hmm. even if you've like ended all of your relationships 10 years after the fact, somebody can come back from your like teenagehood mm-hmm. and say, listen, I was pregnant, but you never knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you should never have sex. And the worst example of all of it is Lane, whose character got absolutely ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gets pregnant from the first time she has sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad because it's her first freaking time.
Yeah.
And she has twins.
My goodness, yeah.
And
I don't know what they were thinking when they wrote that part of the
script. Her whole life is ruined. She even like has this moment that was absolutely heartbreaking when she goes like, I never got to be an adult. I was a kid that was hiding the whole time.
Yeah.
And I moved out and it was really difficult. And I'm immediately now a
mom. I never liked the relationship with that guy. I don't remember his name. I found it like they really ruined like Lane's entire character.
Yeah, Lane's character is like everyone's very upset about that. Everyone's very upset about that. She was absolutely butchered. It was so painful.
It's almost like her life like kept on shrinking. The one she decided to finally like speak up to her mom,
mm-hmm.
her life became tinier. The walls, I think, like really closed in for Lane. I found it like so upsetting, you know. And it's so interesting that you mentioned, you know, this about abortion, because it didn't even occur to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking like we were watching this when we were kids.
Yeah.
What type of messaging was coming through? You know, that actually you should grow up and you should not have kids young because they ruin your life. You should not have sex because the risk is that you're going to be sex. Like... exactly. Yeah.
Even if you think you're safe, somebody can come back and be like, well, you had sex with me that one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like 15 years ago, I was pregnant.
Mm, absolutely.
And you can get pregnant from your first time. It's mm-hmm. not even good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. it sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So as a woman... you want to have sex for the first time and then you think that it automatically needs to be good because that's like, you know, the general narrative around having sex for the first time as a woman. Like, it's so sad.
Yeah. There was also like, there was a very weird moment that I found very strange with Lorelai. There's an episode where she kind of thinks she might be pregnant from Luke. So it's when Suki is in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And... So Suki is in hospital and Lorelai's like, oh, I ate an apple mm-hmm. and I've never wanted to eat an apple. And that may mean that I'm pregnant. And so she calls Rory and she explains why she might think she's pregnant. And it's like, Luke and I were drunk that night, like two nights ago or last night or whatever. And we were drunk and we were having sex and it got carnal. And we like all barriers down, and I'm like, are you saying that you're not on the pill? You're in a long term relationship, and you're like depending on condoms. What is this? So we live in a world where contraceptives don't exist. Every time you have sex, you're going to have a baby. Abortions are not even discussed.
Yeah.
Men do not get vasectomies.
Yeah,
men,
yeah,
they lie to you about them.
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. to be fair, I'm laughing because actually it's so bad in the way that you're describing it. Oh my God, it's so bad. Also, yeah, I really would like to add things to this. Like, I was thinking, like, that everything that happens, like, men are never scrutinized.
Yeah.
It's only women. So, for example, I'll give you examples. Like, the story about, like, Luke with the child and the ex-partner. And then, like, this entire, like, plot where she's the one who had the problem, she's the one who should have said, and the only reasons why she decided not to tell Luke that she had the child is because Luke didn't like kids at the time. Not because Luke is a fucking jerk and he's always grumpy and he doesn't like, you know, and he does, and he questions relationships all the time if there is something that doesn't go his way. No, it's because he didn't like kids, and that's the reason why a woman decides that she's not gonna share that she has a kids with you. You know what I mean? It's almost like women are, again, like these, like, lunatic, irrational people that they take decisions out of a whim that is absolutely not good enough as a reason, right? Like, so that's the first one, rather than thinking. And the part of the, those episodes were around the mother of the child that I don't remember. What was the name? Anna?
Anna.
Was it Anna?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one of the things. Then Dean again, when Rory has the her first time with Dean, and Dean was married.
The entire conversation. Blame Rory for that,
right? And then I was just like, but this man.
So he
cheated on his wife.
He didn't just cheat on his wife. He married his wife knowing that he was in love with somebody else. He was actively in love with Rory when he married her.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, what are you even doing
he
here?
Also, in one of the episodes, he treats his wife badly.
It's horrible.
Only because she's asking, I think, for clarification, or she's not sure where she stands with things. Then I think, like, his wife's mother is trying to say, no, you have to get him back. I don't know, like, I feel like, why Dean is not asked to explain himself in these situations? You know what I mean? And it's always, like, all of these, like, pointing fingers. Rory.
She is kind of made as well to be this horrible woman as well, his wife, because she keeps asking for things, for like material things. I want a house and a car and a thing, and you need to work, but I'm not going to work. I'm just going to be a housewife. And it's like, you guys are kids.
Yeah.
What is up with that? Yeah.
I don't know. Also this narrative that then is like, I don't know, Mira. In my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, well, of course he cheats. He's always been in love with Rory.
So it's
and
not
look
cheating.
At his wife.
He's just,
I know.
Yeah, it's not cheating because he's following his wee heart.
Exactly. And of course, with that wife,
you
know, who's pretending so much from him, he's the one who needs to go to work. And what does she do? She's wanting all these materialistic things, as you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was someone else. Wait, because I have like Logan, you know, that is the entire arch for him was like, he's basically growing as a man. You know, he's learning how to be like a man. There is never a narrative about like Rory is learning how to be a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, because she's growing up and she's learning about different things, about coming into herself, you know, learning what she likes, what she needs to make her life work, you know, but it's much quicker for men. Men are, you know, Rory learns it like in a series. Logan learns it in a season. You know, I think their timeline are much quicker.
I mean, I feel like with Rory, that kind of feeds back into the whole naivete and the fact that she's always a bit oblivious. I don't, I, this is one of my problems with her is I don't think that she learns how to be a woman. She's just always, I think even until the end of the series, I'm not counting the four episodes.
Ah, I see.
At the end. Because yeah,
those four episodes.
I think in those four episodes in the end, she is actually a woman, but we see, but she's learned in the gap between the end of the seven seasons and then those series, which is like 20 years later. Or however many years.
Yeah.
And so like in that time she's learned how to be a woman, but I don't think we ever saw it. Because I think in the end, in like season seven, she's a girl. She's like a little bit scatterbrained and she's ditzy and like, oh, woo is me, I'm so cute and
And
then we kind of see her as a woman, but
that's the end with her finishing Yale.
It does, yeah. So she finishes Yale, she's looking for a job, and then in the last episode she gets a job going on the campaign trail for Obama. Those were the days.
True.
So, I know. Blast from the past.
I know. Before the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Good times. Oof. So, yeah, full circle.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, I think loads more can be said. And we might have another episode, but we might end it here for today. And if you have any comments or would like to take the discussion further, please feel free to do so in comments. But it was really nice chatting.
Yeah, likewise. I want to know whose team are you, team Dean, team Logan?
Oh, Jess.
No, for the audience, for people listening. We want to know. We want to know who's your favorite.
Yes. Please tell us. Yes. Who is your favorite? Do you agree that Luke is a bit of a shithead? And which team are you on?
For both, for either Lorelai or Rory.
Yes.
We want to know.
Please vote. See you later.
See you, bye. And this is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things. It's because of Dean.
It's because I love that.